So glad that you are here again this morning, and we're in this little two-part series that I've called The Heart, and because this is what we think of as the love season, and it is Valentine's Day, and so that's why I wanted to do a series on the heart. But as I said last week, the series is really about what God has been teaching me over this past year or so. And you know, I've always thought, as I said last week, I've always thought that I've done a pretty good job loving others and loving my kids and loving Kim, trying to love the lost and the church. But I've had this feeling over this past year that it wasn't where it needed to be. And God just been pressing upon me, saying, "Mind, there's some things that you need to change." And really just impressing upon me to really have a desire for my heart to grow. I really believe God wants to do the same thing in your life. I think He wants to take our entire church on a journey to a greater heart capacity, where we are more moved than ever before by people in our lives, where we are more moved than at what people are going through. And we begin to allow God to enlarge our heart capacity for Him and for others, and especially those that are most important to us. Jesus says this, and you know this verse very well, Matthew 22, a teacher of the law came to Him, of the religious law, and said, "You know, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." And then He says, "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And then in Galatians, Paul says this in Galatians 5, 6, he says the only thing, and you know, when Paul says the only thing, you probably ought to lean in a little bit. He says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And that's always just challenged me to the core of my being, that's the only thing that counts is a faith that is expressing itself through the way one loves. And then, of course, the Apostle John writes in 1 John 4, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." It's who He is. It's His very essence. And when we come into a personal relationship with Him, He places His Holy Spirit inside of us and places that love, that same kind of love that we talked about last week, in us. He says, "Whoever loves God," He gives us this command, He says, "whoever loves God must also love his brother." So this is my goal for 2021. It's 1 Corinthians 14:1. Paul says, "Let love be your greatest aim." Let love be your greatest aim. To make love the target of my life. You know, that's deep, and I'm challenged by that. Because I think I do love people. I think I love my family. But honestly, I believe there is a greater capacity for me to love more than I'm currently loving. And that's God's challenge for me. That I need to get better at opening my heart and life to the needs of others, to what they are really going through, to begin to see people even better, you know, just to see them the way God sees them, to react to situations that Jesus, the way Jesus would react, and respond the way He responds in certain situations of my life, and to little by little to allow God to begin to change my heart. And I want to be a part of church that says, "Yeah, I want to go there too." Well, last week we talked about what this love is, this heart of love really is. We talked about it being a command, a choice, an action. And today I want to focus in on that action part of what love is, and just let you know that the kind of heart that God is calling us to must begin with commitment. Commitment. I saw this relationship model several years ago. Mike Bro was introducing it. I want to give him credit for much of this today. But this relationship model was from Dr. John Van Epp. He's a counselor, psychologist, author, and he did some research regarding relationships, so really the progression of relationships. And it's really a simple way, I think, to look at how relationships should grow to become healthy. And really, I think, just comes right out of God's Word. And use just, five words. Yeah, these words right here, to know, to trust, to rely, and to commit, and touch. And that's the progression of every healthy relationship. So whether you're married or not married or thinking about getting married, this is the progression of every healthy relationship. And when we get them out of order, all kind of mess can happen. I mean, just think about it. If you trust somebody with your heart, you just kind of trust them without really knowing them, right? Without really knowing who they are. I mean, that can lead to hurt or, you know, to pain or to being burned in a relationship. You kind of put your heart out there and you begin to trust them, but you don't really know them. Or if you go straight to physical touch without any kind of commitment, a commitment to marriage, it can mess you up. It can rip your very soul away and really cause all kind of problems. And here's what I know. God's ways are always the best. And we ought to believe that. You know, since He made us, right? And since He loves us so and really does want what's best for us, then maybe, just maybe, we ought to trust Him. We ought to trust Him and do the things in the right order. And as I've looked at these, I really believe the most important one of these is commit. Commit. And again, we talked about what love is last week. And if we're really going to live out this unconditional love that God is calling us to, it's going to take commitment. And so our key verse this morning is found in Philippians 2. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn over there. If you're watching online, go and make sure you grab your Bible. Turn to Philippians 2. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I always get scared when I do this. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then it goes to the epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I always remember that, General Electric Power Company. So it's General Electric, Philippians. Philippians 2. We'll be in this passage. And our key verse is verse 5. So look at it. And let's just say this together, all right? It'll be on the screen, or you can read it out of your Bible. It might help to be on the, do the one on the screen, so we'll all be in the same. But let's read this. Let's just read this together out loud. Are you ready? In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let's try that again, all right? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Yeah. In order for us to live out commitment, live out this love that God's calling, commitment must be the centerpiece. Because, see, it's here that we're talking about the one, Jesus Christ, who chose to commit to us. He chose to reject popularity, to reject fame, wealth, privilege, to reject comfort for you and me. He's the one who chose to endure criticism and humiliation and torture for us. The one who chose to lay down His life on the cross and to take the rap for our sin. And so if you want to see real commitment, you just look at the life of Jesus. And then just scroll down the verses that follow that verse, verses 6 through 8. This is who He is, and this is His commitment. It says, who, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That was His commitment to us. You know, Jesus once said, if you want to live, I mean to really live, then you got to die. You got to die. You have to die to self and to your own ego. You have to die to always want to be in the top spot of the organizational chart, right? You have to die to me first kind of mindset. And honestly, I think this is why a lot of relationships do not thrive, because we're taught in our culture that life is all about me, right? Life is all about you. That you are the center of the universe, and as a result of that, we're not really willing to die to ourselves. Not willing to have the same mindset as Jesus and to be totally committed to Him and to one another. I say this all the time. I do relationship talks or messages, that I'm not an expert in the field of relationships. I'm not a counselor, although I give counsel. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist, right? I must admit, though, I do watch Dr. Phil every once in a while. I don't know if that makes any better or worse, really. But this is what I do know, right? This is what I do know. I have a strong and wonderful relationship with my wife, Kim, my co-partner in life for 38 years. I have a great relationship with my sons and their wives. I'm working on my relationship with my grandchildren. Plus, this is probably the most important, I have made enough relationship mistakes along the way to learn a few things. And here's one of the things that I've learned, and that is that commitment is the key when it comes to relationships. As I said, Kim and I have been married for 38 years, and we were best friends for 7 years before that. So we spent a lot of time getting to know each other, you know, in that know section. We spent a lot of time getting to know each other, getting to know each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses, so that we then can begin to trust each other, to really know that, okay, I can trust this person, you know, with my heart, with the deepest things of my life. I can trust them. I can be honest with them. I can open up to them. I can become vulnerable with them. And at that point, we begin to be able to rely on each other, right? That I was able to rely on her and her on me. And then that led to this commitment, where we decided to get married. And, she walked me, kind of down the aisle. And actually, I was already standing down there. That wasn't right. And this is a picture of us on our wedding day. She put me in this crazy tux. And I don't know, you can't tell, but that tux had tails. Nobody wears tails anymore. Tails, it goes all the way down there. And my brother-in-law had put with mailbox letters, "Help me," on the bottom of my shoes. And so when we got down to pray to God, you know, to come alongside of us and be a part of this commitment we're making, my shoes said, "Help me, help me." And they were just kind of glowing. And all my friends and fraternity brothers were sitting up in the balcony of that church, and they were laughing. And I was going, "Come on, this is serious." Fraternity guys can't get serious even at the point of commitment. And that's probably true, but you know, it was there in that place that we were able to commit to one another. I'm good to the grave, to each other. And then that led to 38 years of touching each other. If you know what I mean, right? So, listen, I had to get to the touch. Come on, I had to get to the touch. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. And commitment is an action word, right? It's continual. It's not a one-time walk down the aisle and stand in front of a pastor and say, "I'm all in." No. No. Kim's blushing even above her mask. You got to keep building a relationship of trust. Continue to get to know each other even better and better. And, be able to get to that place where you can really rely on each other, then the commitment that you make even makes physical intimacy as God created it to be. And so here's my truth today. Here's my, my big statement today. It's not very big and not very earth-shattering, but it's just simply this. You choose to commit. You choose to commit. As we talked about last week, love's not a feeling, right? Love's not this feeling that all of a sudden you've lost. You go, "Oh my goodness, I misplaced it. Where'd it go?" You know, it's not this. Love is not an involuntary act of hormones. It's not a feeling that you fall into or out of. It's an intentional act of the will. It's a decision that you make that says, "I choose to love you. That I'm in here, in this for the long haul, that I will not walk away from you or bail on you or quit on you. I choose to commit myself to you. I choose to put you first. I choose to serve you. I choose to die to my selfishness. I choose to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ." And then look just above verse 5. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interest of the others. I thought about this, and this is my new plan. From now on, from this point on, some of you guys are lucky, but from this point on, I'm going to make all those I marry in the future memorize this passage right here. Because that's what commitment looks like. That's the decision that makes relationships really thrive. So let me just say this. If you're dating, you guys, maybe you out there, if you're dating and maybe even thinking about getting married one day, and can I just say something to you out of love? Don't get those steps out of order. To know, to trust, to rely, to commit, to touch. Don't get those out of order. God's plan is for all of us to know, to trust, and to rely. And then, you know, when you're in a dating relationship and you know that that they're the one for you, then you make a rock solid commitment, a good to the grave kind of commitment to each other. God's ways are best. And I know you might think, oh, well, you know, you're a pastor, you have to say that, or you're kind of old-fashioned, you know. Yeah, maybe, but I know God's ways are the best. And it's talking about old-fashioned. There's an old-fashioned word that kind of goes hand-in-hand with the word commit, and it's the word faithfulness. Faithfulness. And if you really think about it, unfaithfulness, if somebody is unfaithful to you, it is not, you know, it's really frustrating, right? But not only is it frustrating, it's a decision that is running rampant in our culture today. Because we crave for faithfulness. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, faithfulness has been huge. You know, you can go all the way back into the Old Testament. I mean, even Solomon said in Proverbs 26, he said this, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly faithful? How many of you would say that in our culture today that faithfulness is maybe in a little slump? You know, in God's Word, if you look, especially in the Old Testament, faithfulness means that there, you know, it's firm, it's steady, it's sure. Dependable, rock solid, honest. And if you look throughout the Bible, all those words are used to describe the very character of God. I love what Beth Moore says about faithfulness. She says, faithfulness is resting in His certainty, persuaded by His honesty, trusting in His reality, being won over by His sincerity, being sure that He is sure, and believing that He is worth believing. In Psalms 89, the psalmist writes about the faithfulness of God. He says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. And then in verse 8 he says, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. I love that picture of our God. Faithfulness is just who God is. And so back to our key verse, if we're going to have the same mindset as Jesus, then all of our relationships must be characterized by faithful commitment. Faithful commitment. So let me just share with you three things, three truths about this word commitment, this faithful commitment that God is calling us to. First is this, commitment, that's the second one. Commitment is persistent even when I want to quit. Thank you. Commitment is persistent even when I want to quit. I mean, just think about this. how do you get to be as good as Tom Brady? You know? You can throw that picture up there. I mean, everybody wants to look at Tom Brady. How do you get to be as good as Tom Brady? A world-class athlete. Let me tell you, when he graduated from Michigan, he wasn't a world-class athlete. I mean, he was good. He played for Michigan. But he was drafted in the sixth round of the NFL draft. I think he was like the 199th player picked that year. A lot of quarterbacks before him. But he was committed. And he practiced, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked. I just think about musicians. You know, I think about Kim, and even her sister. She was with us a couple of weeks ago. Just how they play the piano, and we think, oh, man, that's just easy. That's just, ooh, no, right? It takes practice and practice and practice and practice to be this master musician. I didn't mean that Kim's a master musician, but she's close. Oh, no, y'all say she is. That's right. So good, right? It's practice. Got to dig myself out of another hole, I guess, right? Well, I had a picture of a master musician on it that I was going to show you, so that makes a difference. She never played at Carnegie Hall, and so you get what I mean. She could, though. People are online going, what in the world is going on? My point is, it takes commitment and persistence, even sometimes when you want to quit, right? Even sometimes when you don't want to practice again, even sometimes when you don't want to go out on the field again, even when you want to quit, you have to stay at it. You have to choose to commit. Our culture, of course, says if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. You know, if it takes too long, if it's too much effort, forget it. You know, do something else. Do whatever feels good. Live by your emotions. And as a result, we end up in relationships, our relationships being manipulated by our feelings, our mood at that time being manipulated by our feelings. And before we know it, we've lost that love and feeling. Right? But mature, spirit-led people live by their commitments, not their emotions. Emotions are up and down, right? But faithful commitment is consistent, persistent, doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like it. I don't always feel like being nice. Do you? Right? I mean, sometimes I want to be selfish. I want to be grumpy. I want to be grouchy. I want everybody else to serve me. Sometimes I don't feel like helping and serving my wife or thinking of her needs first. Sometimes I don't feel like helping my kids all the time. Sometimes I don't feel like talking to you. And most of the time, you don't feel like listening to me, right? Sometimes I don't feel like reading the Bible, showing up to worship, being committed to a small group, or praying. And what I'm learning is those times I don't feel like it, that's the time I need it the most. That's the time I need to read and pray and worship. That's the time I need to be around people that love me the most, serving them and following through on my commitment to them. You see, commitment is not giving up. It's not quitting. And maybe you're here today, and you want to throw in the towel, right? You're just going to throw in the towel. Maybe that's you want to throw the towel in on your marriage or your relationships or your at school or in your career or your finances or your health. You're struggling so much with your health. You just want to throw in the towel. On your dreams, they seem like they're just not coming true. They're falling apart, and you just want to throw in the towel. You just feel like throwing in the towel. Someone once said, I threw in the towel. And God threw it back and said, here, wipe your face. We're almost there. Yeah. James says in 1:3-4, I love it in the Message paraphrase, He says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You see, it's in the moments when you feel like quitting that I believe the Holy Spirit does his best work inside of us, perfecting faithfulness, commitment in our character. He will encourage you and whisper to you, come on, stay with it. Don't give up. Keep saying no to that temptation. Work on those relationships. Don't just throw them away. Commitment is giving when you don't have anything more to give. It's seeing the project through. It's refusing to jump ship even when the waves are adversely crashing over the sides of your marriage or your relationships, well, you know, maybe with your kids, your parents, your co-workers, other people. And you choose to commit. You choose to commit. Commitment is persistent. I'm not going to quit on you. My commitment to you is good to the grave. Someone who worked at a nursing home posted this about a man that would, she would see, that would come and visit his wife that had Alzheimer's. And she said this. She said, I observed him when I was parking beside him one day. And he sat in his old pickup truck for a few minutes. And then he patted his hair down, whatever hair he had. And he straightened his shirt. And he looked in the mirror for a final check before going in to see his wife. It was as if he was courting her. They had been partners all these years and had seen each other in all kind of circumstances, yet he carefully groomed himself before he went in to see his wife, who wouldn't even know him. That's the kind of commitment that the world needs today. It's persistent even when you feel like giving up. Second, commitment keeps his promises. I'm committing to my promise. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Psalms 145 says, the Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. And so since that is true, we go back to our key verse. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus, because he is the ultimate promise keeper. Keep your promises. Be good as your word. Several months ago, in this past year, we had our stairs redone going up to our second floor. And the contractor that was doing it, it was a tough time of the year and everything, and I understood all this, but, you know, he said, okay, I'm going to be there on this day, and he wasn't there that day, and so, you know, I waited for him to call him for, you know, a couple of weeks. He called back. He said, oh, I'm sorry, this and this, I'm going to be here on this day, and I just want to say, hey, bro, just show up, you know, or just call me and tell me you can't make it or you're having the struggle. Just show up, right? And I thought about that. I said, Monty, do you show up? I mean, do you show up? Can you be trusted? Can your kids, take your words to the bank? Can your parents trust what you're telling them? Can they trust your words, what's coming out of your mouth? In his book, The Hidden Value of a Man, it's an old book by Gary Smalley, he writes about this 40-year-old guy that came to him during a counseling session and told him about an incident that happened when he was 12 years old and it was still messing with his heart. And so let me just read it to you. The man says, I was just 12 when my Boy Scout troop planned a father-son camp out. I was so thrilled and I could hardly wait to get home and give my father the information. I wanted to so much show my father all I had learned in scouting. I was so proud when he said he would go with me. Friday, the day we were leaving, finally came, and I had all my gear out on the porch, ready to stuff in his car the moment he arrived. We were to meet at the local school at 5 o'clock and carpool to the campground. But Dad didn't get home until 7 o'clock. I was frantic, but he explained how things had gone wrong at work and told me not to worry. We could still get up first thing in the morning and join the others. I was disappointed, of course, but decided to make the most of it, the best of it. First thing in the morning, I was up and had everything in his car while it was still getting light. I was so ready to catch up with my friends and their dads at the campground. He said we would leave at 7 o'clock. I was ready a half hour before that, but he never got up until 9:30. When he saw me standing out front with the camping gear, he finally explained that he had a bad back and couldn't sleep on the ground. And he hoped I would understand and be a big boy about it. But could I please get my things out of his car? Because he had several commitments he had to keep. He says, just about the hardest thing I have ever done in my life was to go out to the car and take out my sleeping bag, the cooking stove, the pup tent, and supplies. And then while I was putting my stuff away and he thought I was out of sight, I watched my father walk out to the garage and sling his golf clubs over his shoulder and throw them in the trunk and drive away to keep his commitment. You know, how do you fix the heart that has been broken by a dad not keeping his promises? How do you restore the capacity of that boy's, that man's heart to trust again? Proverbs 27 says, the righteous walk in integrity, meaning they keep their promises. Happy are the children who follow them. See, commitment is persistence, even when I want to quit. Commitment means that you keep your word. And then finally, commitment is staying true to your relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter the cost. You know, I'm telling you this, and I'm an imperfect dad that has blown it many times. I'm an imperfect husband, an imperfect friend, an imperfect pastor. And I'm learning that it's only through a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God that you can become consistent at doing this. And it begins by choosing to commit and stay true to your relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter the cost. And so let me just say to you that, you know, this church has thrived really because of selfless commitment of so many. So many of you have chosen to commit your lives and your gifts and your time to God and to this church, to love our kids, our students, to greet people, you know, even holding crazy signs even when you don't want to. You know, so many of you worked in the sound and light, you know, up there for years, week after week after week after week. You know, Monty never saying, way to go, you know, just doing it, committed. Be on the worship team, so many of you, just week after week after week, teaching God's word, even when you don't really feel like it. Faithful, committed people who give a chunk of their income so people can hear the good news of God's love. It takes commitment. It's single moms and dads who stay at it, finding a way through the strength of Jesus Christ to create a loving environment where their kids can thrive. It's husbands and wives that say, my commitment is good to the grave. Men and women who you just keep showing up at your workplace. Yeah, and maybe it's not your dream job or what you thought you would be doing with your life, but you just keep showing up, keep committing to what God has called you to, trying to live out your faith and your relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, wanting to provide for your family. You just committed. What drives? What is it that drives that kind of commitment? Here's what I believe it is. It's choosing to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who took commitment to a whole nother level. And it's what will take your relationships there too. So what do you need to commit to? Maybe for some of you, first, you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus Christ, to accept His love and sacrifice on your behalf and say, God, today I choose to follow You. Humbly submitting to His leadership every day in your life. For others, maybe you need to commit to serving others. Saying, okay, God, I'm going to be all in, asking You, God, to use Your unique gifts to make a difference in somebody else's life. Maybe for you it's to commit or recommit to your marriage. Maybe parents, you need to make a commitment to your kids or renew that commitment. And kids, maybe you need to commit to your parents. Whatever that is for you. Whatever it is, will you allow the Holy Spirit to move you to action today? Will you do that? So that you can begin to live out this commitment that God is calling you to, toward Him and to others. This commitment that He so wants to support and give strength to. Many of you know that this is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's kind of cool. Even my son called me this past week and said, hey, I use this as your favorite verse, Dad. And 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The New American Standard says, for the eyes of the Lord. And I love just to think about my God that way, that He is looking down, that His eyes are ranging, in ASB says, to and fro, back and forth, right? Throughout this earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. I've shared this with you before. You know, one night I was out in my backyard and, you know, I was just looking at the stars and checking on my, you know, my koi in the fish ponds or whatever. And I was just standing out there looking up, and all of a sudden, you know, I heard sirens, policemen, and everybody going crazy. And all of a sudden, the police copter comes over my house, you know, and he's got the big strobe light. And he's just going back and forth, just looking for someone that had broken the law. You know, I just looking and just back and forth. Helicopter just making that, hovering over my backyard area. And as I sat there and stood there and watched that, I just thought, wow, that's my God. That's what He does. Just looking back and forth, just looking and searching for a heart that is fully committed to Him. Not so that He can say, hey, way to go. No! So that He can continue to give you His strength. Continue to come alongside of you and support you and say, let's do it. Here's the towel. Wipe your face off. Let's go. You see, He places His love inside of us. And this love is a command to live out. It's a choice that we do. It's a conduct, an action. And that action is this commitment that says, okay. Let's do it. God, begin to increase my heart capacity to love the way that You are calling me to love. God, help me to make my heart a heart that is fully and totally committed to You so that I might have Your strength and Your support to fulfill this call that You've placed on my life, to be the person that You've called me to be for such a time as this today. So will you choose to commit? Pray with me, please. Father, will you continue to speak to our hearts this morning? And Father, will you find hearts this morning that are open, and minds that are open, and hands that are open to your will, ready to commit to you. Again, maybe for you this morning, where you find yourself at is that you need to first make a commitment to Him to receive His love, His forgiveness, to come into a forever relationship with Him. And that's His call on your life today, this morning, is to say, yes, here I am. I don't understand everything, God, about this relationship, but God, I believe that You are my God. I believe that You sent Your Son to die on a cross, to pay for my sins, my mess ups. And so right now, God, the best I know how to do, I'm going to commit my life to You. Will you do that right now? Just ask Him to come in. Be your Lord. Be your Savior. For others of you, you might need to recommit. You know Him as your Savior, but you've never surrendered every area of your life to Him as Lord, and you know there's some things that you've been holding on to. And so today, the choice to commit is to say, here I am. Open hands. God, take what you need to take. Recommit your life to Him. Father, thank You that for all my life, God, for all our lives, You have been faithful. A faithful commitment that keeps pursuing us and never gives up on us. God, even though I know sometimes you kind of shake your head and wonder, but you keep loving. You keep reaching. You keep pursuing. Your arms are always wide open for us to come to You or to return to You, God. Thank You for Your promise that You'll never leave us or forsake us, that we can trust You and hold on to You. Even in the midst of circumstances, God, that we can't understand. You've promised us that You will bring Your peace, Your comfort in that moment, God, and we can hold on to that promise and we can trust that. God, because we know Your character. We know who You are. And God, we know we can rely on You. And so, God, because You are such a faithful, committed God to us, would You take our offer of commitment to You today. And with Your love inside of us, God, help us to step out into this year, into 2021, and step out of this place this morning and live a life that is committed to You and to loving others with the same mindset as Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.